whether you realize it or not, God wants to help you today. God wants to help me today. There's a song, there's a hymn, Lord, our help in ages past. Lord, our help in ages past. Holy Spirit, say it with me. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Say Paraclete.
Paraclete.
That is the Greek word for the Holy Spirit. It's not an it. It's a him. It's a person.
Yes.
And the Greek brings out that person of the Holy Spirit. Because it simply means one who stands in behalf of another. In essence, one who is called alongside to help.
Amen.
Say that with me. Called alongside
called
to help.
Alongside.
He's going to help me preach today.
Amen.
Praise God. She was going to say that too. You might just preach for it's over. Go ahead and say it. He's going to help me preach. He's going to help me testify. He's going to help me live victoriously. He's going to help me overcome the world. He's going to help me overcome my own weak flesh. He's going to help me overcome the devil, because that's his purpose in my life. He has been commissioned and called alongside me and alongside you to help. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Out front, we have a little stone. And you know what it says on that little stone out front? Somebody probably, Dale or some of you, Delites, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Had it printed up, you're one of them Delites for sure. Can you say amen? And Terryites. Hallelujah. Praise God. Fell overboard, could have drowned, but God had a purpose. Fell out of the boat when, how old were you? 5 years old, fell out, went under some dark water. His daddy reached down, pulled. He had to jump in and find you. Sink to the bottom, get you and get you out. That close to you not being in this world today. Praise God. But God sustains you. Hallelujah. Because he's our help in the day of trouble. He's our help in the time of trouble. And his promise to help and his provision of help is available to everyone in this room today. I want you to know that God has no favorites. He is no, the New Testament bears it out, God is no respecter of persons. Billy Graham has no more access to God. He may use the access that we all have in more efficiently, but he has no more access to God than you if you're a Christian today. This young woman that just came to Christ has just as much access to God as Billy Graham. Isn't that incredible? When you pray, God will listen to you as intently as he would one of his greatest evangelists that he's anointed and appointed. For I am convinced, the New Testament said, God is no respecter of persons. But here's where the breakdown comes. But he does respect faith. It's not the person who merits something. It's the faith. That's why he chose Mary. He didn't choose Mary because she was so immaculate and so pure and so holy, because all, and that includes Mary, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mary had to get saved after she had Jesus, after he went to the cross. Amen? So why in the world did he choose Mary? Was it her purity? Was it her sinlessness? No. We're all the product of the fall. And there's no one on this planet that doesn't need a Savior. No one. Why did he choose her? Because he knew in her little young heart, she had a pure faith toward him. Angel comes to a virgin and said, you're going to be with child. And in her innocence, she asked a question that's just as valid as any question should ever be asked. How shall this thing be, seeing that I know not a man? And then the angel says, well, the Holy Spirit is going to do this. You don't need the physical. You don't need the natural. This is going to be a supernatural impregnation and a supernatural birth. It's going to be a supernatural baby when he's born, too. Very God, very man. She didn't get that yet. But she knew one thing. If God was going to do it by his Spirit, that's all she needed to know. She didn't need to try to analyze it. She didn't need to try to subject it to other people's opinions. All all she had to do was accept it by faith. Can you say amen? And so she said, well, in that case, are you ready? Be it unto me according to thy word. I heard somebody say amen just then. You know what amen means? So be it. Or be it unto me according to your word. When you get the Bible open, you know what the scripture calls the Bible? It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And when you put your faith in the word of God, the God of the word backs it up. Amen. And you know what the God of the word said about his own word? He said, heaven's going to pass away. First he said, you're going to pass away. Man that thinks he's somehow immortal is going to have to face the fact that you're just like the grass in the field. It comes out real green till the sun hits it and beats it back and beats it down, and it withers and fades away. So is man, and the whole world and everything in it. New heaven and new earth is coming. Praise God. But he said, my word is different. My word is different. My word is different. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, my word, heaven will pass away. You know, the Bible said the heavens are going to be reconstructed. First Peter said they were on fire with fervent heat as we know it. There'll be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. Nothing is completely unmovable and stable except the God of the Word and the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. What God has spoken in his word, amen, was seeded into Mary and came through her womb and into this world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Be it unto me according to your word. Hallelujah. God, our help in ages past. That little stone out front near the mailbox, little stone has a plaque on it. And it's from the Old Testament where they built a memorial to God for helping them. For helping them. For helping them through everything that they faced. They wanted everybody to know that their God can answer. You know how he compared himself to the gods that man had made? Our God, the true and living God. He said they have eyes. They can't see. Man builds them in his image and gives them eyes, but they can't see. He puts ears on them. Come on, some of them gods sitting in your garden. Can you say amen? Got a big fat belly, been eating barbecue. Can you say amen all day long? Amen? We think it's cute or cool to have a Buddha sitting in your garden. You need to Buddha him out of your garden. Can you say amen? He's a God that's worshipped in nations. Well, Brother Venable, it's just a cement. It's an image of a God that is worshipped. I hit another nerve. Listen, if you show that I hit a nerve, I'm going to nail it. Can you say amen? Amen? I'm serious. I'm serious. We're not going to leave nothing covered up in this place. Because God wants to bless you. But you can't bow to no other God. You can't believe in another God. You can't blend him with other gods. Can you say amen? Amen. You got to make up your mind if you're reading the funny papers and decide, you know, I'm the way I am because I'm a Sagittarius. I'm a Taurus. I'm an Aquarius. No, man, you is a soul that needs to get fixed up and to get the help that it needs, and it'll only come from God. Amen? I hit another nerve, so we're going to nail that one too. I'm dead serious about this. You can't play it both ways. You know what God said to Israel when they went to the astrologers, not astronomy, astrology, to predict your future and all of that and to tell you your future. You know what he told them? He said, stand now. I believe it's Isaiah 47. Stand now with thy astrologers and thy stargazers. And those soothsayers that's telling you the future. By the way, there's people in church that think they are the one that's seeing everything. You might have wished to go to a palm reader. I was having lunch in Hardee's after church with my wife, and a man that visited our church saw me, and he came over to the table and told me what his ministry was. He wanted me to turn him loose on you. And he's going to interpret all of your dreams. Whatever dream you have, he'll tell you what it means spiritually. I believe in spiritual dreams. But I don't believe that every dream you have is a spiritual dream. That burrito will give you a pretty bad one. Can you say amen? If you put too much hot sauce on it. He said that was his ministry. His only ministry. Didn't teach the word, didn't know the word, didn't want to know the word. He just wanted to stand up and exert power and influence over people. Stand now with thy stargazers, thy monthly prognosticators, and see if they can deliver you. See if they can help you. God said, I want to help you. This is for real. I'm not fronting. I don't want you running here, running there. I want you to run to me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are what? Safe. That word safe means far above your enemy. So high above your enemy that he can't do you harm and he can't hurt you. We used to sing that song from the islands. We've made a few trips to the islands. No harm, no harm, no harm. No harm, no harm, no harm. No harm, no harm, no harm. The devil can't do me no harm. I believe in Jesus' name. I believe in Jesus' name. I believe in Jesus' name. And the devil can't do me no harm. Shut the door. Keep out the devil. Shut the door. Leave the devil in the night. Shut the door. Keep out the devil. Light the candle. Everything's all right. Light the candle. Everything's all right. How do you shut the door? The Bible said give no place to the devil. That's why I said to boot out your Buddha. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, but Brother Bimble, I want my garden to be oriental. Well, don't put a god in it. That is worship down here. Brother Bimble, how can that be wrong? Because there's a demon that impersonates every god that man makes. To give them some sense of spiritual identity or association. Amen. Demons love it when man make their own gods and bow to them. Are you listening to me? Amen. Brother Bimble, I don't like what you're preaching. I'm not here for you to like what I'm preaching. I'm here for you to either take the word of God, embrace it, apply it, or reject it and do it your way. But I'm not here to do it your way. I'm here to exalt him and to tell you what is a danger to you and to tell you what will open the door and the windows of heaven for God to bless you. But you can't have it both ways. Stand now. You think you can stand, if you think you can put God in a little corner of your life and go with Sidney Omar in the paper who has this, if you're this, expect that. You know, they, in order to advertise, all these people that are telling you to call this number and they'll tell you your future, tell you the things about it. You know what it says down in the disclaimer? Just for 2 seconds or a millisecond? For entertainment? Purposes only. That means don't take it serious, even though I'm presenting it as serious. Can you say amen? I went to pray for a young lady. I'm going to tell you, there's so much to tell you, and I'm almost done talking, but I went to pray for a young lady in the hospital. Her mother had called a friend who called the church. Her mother had been in church, come to know Christ, but started moving away from the Lord and over into spiritualism. And her daughter was in the hospital at St. Joseph's, and they couldn't find out what was wrong with her. But they were giving her IVs to keep her from being dehydrated because she wouldn't eat and she wouldn't drink. And she was in kind of what almost, not coma, but almost in that catatonic where, you know, if she just kept on going down, they were even discussing putting possibly a feeding tube directly into her stomach. And she did other things. They couldn't keep the gown on her or underclothes on her. So when I went to pray for her, she had taken the covers and threw them off herself. But her eyes never opened. Never opened. I went and got the nurse. I backed out of the room, went and got the nurse. I said, I've been asked to pray for this young lady. Can you cover her up so she's decent? And she said, yes, I can. Said, she does that. We don't know why. She just does that. So yes, she had company. You're exactly right. I walked into that room with the intention of praying for her healing and her deliverance like I walk into any room. But when I walked into that room and went to pray for her, I had a little bottle of anointing oil. I had my Bible in the other hand. I didn't go in there to deal with the devil. I just went in there to pray for healing. I mean, I don't go looking for devils. There's enough of them without hunting them down. Can you say amen? So I went in to pray. That's my job at this point, to pray. And when I got ready to pray for her, the Lord says, you can't. You can't pray over her. You can't. And I've never in my life had God tell me not to pray for somebody. It didn't mean don't intercede for her soul, but I couldn't pray for her deliverance. And that troubled me. Because I would start to pray, and I had that, you can pray all you want to. But I'm not going to do anything here today. And I mumbled some little something. I said, Lord, is this really you? And I felt, I didn't feel demons or, I felt God's presence. It was holy in there. I felt His holy presence in my heart. And I backed out and I went to my car and I wept and I prayed and I interceded for her soul. I said, God, what does this mean? When I got back to my office at the church back in Sulphur Springs, the phone rung. And that person who had asked me to go pray said, Brother Venable, I just want you to know what you're dealing with. Sometimes God drops it in your heart. Sometimes He brings it another way. He said, you remember the lady that this is her daughter? I said, yes, I do. She said, they used to come to our church. They drifted away from God and got into spiritualism. They've been to seances. They have been to places where demon spirits are invited. We struck a nerve today for a reason. God changed my message today for a reason. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for it. If you think you can pray everybody out of everything regardless of what they do, you are very wrong. And if you think other people's prayers can get you out of all your trouble without you bowing to Jesus while you continually serve the devil is playing you. And it's a deadly game. It's dead serious. And I thought, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. She said, I just called her mother today. And her mother is weeping and repenting before God. See, it wasn't contingent on me. It's contingent because her mother led her daughter into spiritualism. Her mother opened the door to the enemy and invited him in. Listen to me very carefully. Said she is repenting before God right now. She's got tears in her eyes. And she's saying, God, forgive me. And while she was praying, I began to pray, and this lady that called me began to pray. I didn't have to go back to the hospital. I didn't have to command the demon to leave. When we prayed in intercession, and her mama, who invited this thing, shut the door. Hallelujah on the devil and opened the door to Jesus Christ. God set her free. She came to in her right mind. She was hungry and she was thirsty and she did not even know that she had been sick. And her mother counseled her, prayed with her, and led her back in to the brightness of the light of the glory of God. Can you say amen? This stuff is very, very real and very, very relevant. Stand now. Is it Isaiah 47? Can you read it for us, please, sir?
Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit. If so, thou mayest prevail.
If that's your source, occult, say occult. The occult means hidden knowledge. It means knowledge that man is trying to find, but he's going to the wrong place for it. And when you open yourself up to the spirit realm, other spirits can impersonate the Holy Spirit. There's something that the Bible calls a familiar spirit. It's a spirit that you invite and he becomes real friendly, or she or it, with you. Some people are so spiritually bankrupt, they think they can fool with both worlds and never be scathed by the enemy and always have God in their corner. That's what he was telling Israel. You start fooling around with the sorcerers and those ancient arts of divination, then you're going to have to look to them for your help. Because I'm not going to help you if you're looking to them. You cannot have it both ways. But we think we can play, that this is innocent. There's nothing innocent about it. Nothing innocent about it. I had a hard time receiving the Holy Spirit. Because I just wanted God to take completely over without me completely yielding or using any of my faith. So I clamped my mouth shut. Better than God, I ain't going to play nothing. Well, it was God, and I couldn't say anything because I wouldn't open my mouth. How could he give me the gift of tongues to convince me I had the Holy Ghost? And the initial evidence is power, and then tongues. Not tongues, and then power. So the power came. So we want to do something for God. We were broke. Lord, have mercy. You couldn't get any more broke than we were, but a missionary needed somebody in our church to take her with a bunch of goods to go back to Jamaica. I borrowed my stepdad's pickup truck, and I don't know, we took our grocery money to fill it up with gas. Back when gas was, 89, 99 a gallon. We filled that bad boy up. We were headed for Miami. We got a bunch of mission goods going to. We're on a mission trip for God. Hallelujah. Felt so good. Didn't know what we were going to eat when we get back home, but we were on a mission trip for God. And it felt so very good. And I'd had trouble with the tongues. And the devil knows that the Holy Ghost is not a prestige gift to give you some kind of standing among your peers. That's why some people want to receive it. It's a power gift. It's a power gift. It's a power gift. It's a power gift. You shall receive power, dunamis, miracle, working ability. Amen. And so the devil fights what he fears. He doesn't want the power of God in your life. He don't want the power of God in the church. He wants to have power. But don't let the church have any power. And we're so good at doing church, we're trying to operate without the power. And church is so well organized. The preachers are so good at it. We do church so well. The choir sings just right. The timing is condensed. It's all in a neat package for Sunday. That if the power of God isn't present, nobody notices the absence of it. But you go to a seance, you will encounter power. You go with me. Just 100 miles outside of Port-au-Prince, well, in Port-au-Prince, but particularly in Babylon, Haiti. And I guarantee you, you will encounter power. You preach the gospel where demons are glorified and literally invited and worshiped. You will encounter power. And if you go down there, I would suggest that you have some power before you leave here. We had a guy that went with us down there. And his whole ministry was delivering saints from demons. Now, if all the saints are demonized, we got a real problem when it comes to power. Because if somebody had a problem with eating too much, they had a gluttonous spirit. No, you just have flesh out of control. Thank you for the hearty amen. You know, blaming the devil for everything lets you off the hook. Amen? You're off the hook. We're back to Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. Just cast this nicotine devil out of me. Well, you may have invited some spirit of addiction, but I'm going to tell you something right now. There are people quitting smoking all over the place without having demons cast out of them. Everything is not a demon. And we need the gift of discerning of spirit so you know what is and what isn't. Can you say amen? Amen. But when you call everything a spirit, you're off in left field. So he had this, there's plenty of Christians wanting to blame the devil for everything. Very few want to crucify the flesh. So they were looking for deliverance ministry everywhere they went. You know, God deliver me from this. I get mad at my kids and I just go crazy. Oh, deliver me. I got a spirit. See, just get that. We even use this. Listen, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. That's not a demon from hell. It was his attitude. He became discouraged. He became distracted. And God didn't give us a spirit, our spirit of fear. And his spirit had become that way, infected. But it wasn't the devil, amen, that was in him. He was not demon possessed. Timothy didn't need that spirit cast out of him. He needed his faith stirred up. There's faith in you. It's in your mama, your grandmama, and I know it's in you. Can you say amen? Some people are going to go to another church, but I'm going to tell you something. If you want idolatry, if you want to blend it, you're going to have to make a decision. God is going to meet you somewhere, and where he's going to meet you is this. Amen. You cannot bow to other gods, believe in other gods, and call upon the living and true God. Can you say amen? You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. When God's people in the Old Testament married into one of those other tribes. Balaam. They brought Baalism. But here's how they brought it. Inside their garments, these brides that feigned allegiance to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Inside of their garments, after they were married, they had what they called pocket gods. And the pocket gods were little images of the gods that they worshipped that they sewed inside their garments. So when they got at home with this Jewish man, they pulled out their pocket gods, set them in the corner, and made their own personal little shrine. Hallelujah. And they begin to bow to their gods. And the worst thing was, because the husbands now had fallen in love with these women, what they saw and knew was wrong, they did not want to offend the object of their love. And they began to try to have this pluralism, letting this idol be in their home and calling upon the covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob simultaneously. And what began to happen in Israel was, amen, that the God of Israel said, if you're going to call upon them, don't talk to me. Can you say amen? If you're going to look to them, let them deliver you when the day of trouble comes. Can you say amen? If you're going to look to them, let them help you when the trouble comes. But if you will get rid of them and come back to me. Listen, it got so bad they brought this stuff into the temple. They inscribed inscriptions to false gods on the walls of the temple. And Ezekiel said, I see something. I see something that is the saddest sight you could ever see. I see the presence of God like a fiery wheel within a wheel. And I see it leaving, not quickly, but I see the presence of God leaving the temple of God, backing away. Ascending from this earthly manifestation. And Ezekiel's heart was broken. And the message of the prophet is to call people away from that's going to hurt them and harm them, back to the God that wants to help them. Oh, that wheel within a wheel, Brother Taylor, that manifest presence of God, that earthly manifestation of God. Oh, that we could see repentance in God's house among God's people, and we could see, amen, that presence coming down instead of going away. Can you say, man, when the... Oh, that we could see a Holy Ghost revival of purity and power once again. Oh, that we could see the called out come out. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a God unto you, and you shall be my people. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. As it is written, I will live in them, and I will walk in them. Hallelujah. I'll move, perambulate. What they call a baby carriage in London? A perambulator. A pram. Because it moves with the baby in it. You can move that baby around in it. And when God returns to his people, because we return to him, he said, I'm going to be a daddy to you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. And you will be my sons and my daughters. And then the next verse says, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all... Didn't it say touch not the unclean thing? From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That word fear is not just the dread of his anger or justice. It is the deep reverence with awe and affection. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. You know why I don't date out on Pamela? Because you're a preacher. No, it's deeper than that. Because God will get you. Well, that's part of it, but it's deeper than that. I remember when my wife, we just had got married. We were teenagers, 14 and 16, led the young people over there. Amen. She went to cash and carry to get groceries, and a bag boy saw her ring, knew she was married, and he said, I know you're married. First he said, hi, gorgeous. I know you're married, but do you date out? My wife told me that. She said, I told him, no, I don't. I said, okay. And I wanted to go to the cash and carry. When it said our God is a jealous God, it doesn't mean that negative stuff. It means thou shalt have no gods before me. I won't be your God unless I am your God. But if you're going to have other gods, you can count me out. I'm out of the loop, but if you'll come back to me, I'll come back to you. I want to help you. They can't help you. I can help you. They got eyes they can't see. They got ears they can't hear. They got arms, but they can't help. But he said, my eyes see. His eyes are upon the righteous. My ears hear. His ears are open to their cry. And his arms, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Can you say, man, I want to help you. I want to help you. But if you're going to go to church, get rid of your Ouija board. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Don't invite a demon that knows things. Amen. I went down with an ex-policeman that attended our church to Channel 22 to stand with him and on television and warn people about some of the board games, Dungeons and Dragons. They look so... Anytime a role-playing game comes and the role puts you in the position, we got more kids reading They wouldn't read in Sunday school. They wouldn't read the Bible because they can't understand it. They wouldn't read Tom Sawyer. They wouldn't read Huckleberry Finn. They wouldn't read Moby Dick. But boy, when Harry Potter come on, it got them. And right after, listen, are you against that? Listen, Disney's got it. It's everywhere. Listen, the devil wants to represent. Come on, he wants to represent. It's in cartoons. It's everywhere you turn. More kids became interested in witchcraft and the occult because if you don't have power from magic, then you're a muggle. You know what a muggle is? Come on, we've all heard about Harry. You don't know what a muggle is? Clue him in. What's a muggle? You know what a muggle is. You're young enough. Just a regular person with no power, right? You was a muggle and you didn't know it. No, you got some power. I got some power. But I didn't get it from magic. I didn't get it from the dark side. Amen. I got it from the bright side. Hallelujah. That's what they called everybody without any magical powers. Amen. You're a muggle. You're just a plain old human being. Can't do anything above your own ingenuity and energy. But when you tap into this power, you can do things beyond yourself. Amen. The devil has power and people are interested in that power. And the witchcraft sites and the Wiccan sites and all of them just exploded with hits on the website from teenagers and preteens. Wanting power. Boy, when I went to Jamaica, where I saw the power of the devil manifest when we preached. Saw people fall on the ground and look like they became disjointed. And they moved like a circus performer couldn't. They moved like a serpent on the ground. And I thought, Lord have mercy. I'm so glad I got some power with me. The power of Jesus' name, the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We don't see it in America. But it's here. In England, it has influenced the Anglican Church. They need a revival in England. They need a revival. They used to have it, and they lost it. And that power void was filled with witchcraft and the occult. Everywhere there's a power vacuum, Satan is looking for a place to fill that vacuum. We ought to find that power in the Church of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Our young people ought to discover that power. When I went to Jamaica to visit the orphanage that we used to support there years ago, I saw all of these teenage and preteen children gathered to welcome us. And they began to sing in French Creole about Jesus. I didn't understand French Creole, but I understood Jesus. But when they begin to mention Jesus, I watched the tears begin to come in their eyes. And I heard something, not in French Creole, but very familiar to me. Hallelujah. As they begin to praise God, many of them, they begin to say, Béni soit le nail! Béni soit le nail! Which in French Creole is praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. With tears in their eyes. And then I heard, not in my tongue, but in tongues that I knew. This is the Holy Spirit through these kids. And I thought, how many people in church, in old line names. See, there's a church that said, thou hast a name that liveth, but you're dead. You're living off a name that no longer represents what it once represented. You go to a Pentecostal church, devils were cast out. People were healed and delivered and set free. Sinners come under such conviction, they either ran to God or ran from Him out the door. Can you say amen? But you couldn't be neutral in the manifest presence of God. Can you say amen? Oh, you have to take sides. Amen. You can't be neutral. And when God's people begin to let the searchlight of the Holy Spirit come in their life and they decide, I am different, I'm counterculture, I'm not. If it's unclean in God's sight, I don't want it in my sight. Can you say amen? If Jesus can't watch it, don't put it in the DVD player. If Jesus can't watch it with you, don't put it in the DVD player. Because he's there. You take him there. He's going home with me. I don't know about you, but he's going into my house. He lives in this house. So wherever this house goes, he's in that house. There's houses I just don't go in. Can you recap my... And then wash your hands good. There's spit on it. I don't know where it came from. I'm so glad Jesus is going home with me. I'm so glad he lives in my house here. I'm not talking about the stone house. The reason he's in that house, you know the reason he's in this house? Because you either brought him in or you didn't. But if you came in here with him, he's in here with you. Can you say amen? The old church was near an X-rated theater. The old Springs Theater. I used to hitchhike from Mango Sefner to Sulphur Springs with RC bottle caps and 10 cents. You could watch a matinee on Saturday afternoon. I had no car, no scooter, no bicycle, no gasoline if I had anything. But I had RC cola. I'm going to the show Saturday. I got me some RC. I think it was 20 RC cola caps and 10 cents or something. And we'd go down. We'd hitchhike all the way to Sulphur Springs. And we'd go down to the old Springs Theater and watch one of those serials, you know. It was so much fun. Wow. Then they went under and they bought it out, turned it into an X-rated theater. And it was just two blocks from the church. Building's still there. People used to come and park in the church parking lot and walk to the X-rated theater. Because they figured, if I park in the church parking lot, holy, holy, pious, pious, I'm there with counseling with pastor. No, you're headed for the X-rated theater and you don't want nobody to see your car. So you park it in our parking lot and walk down to the X-rated theater two blocks down the road. And then you come walking back. And I'd see them slinking down, slinking back. And pray for everybody. Pray for the theater. Pray for the people in it. Pray for all of that. But you see, you can't have it both ways. There's a lot of people parking church on Sunday. They're over at the dog track next week. They're clubbing on Saturday night in Ybor City. They're grabbing the scriptures that they feel will help them, trying to memorize a couple. But they're checking the paper to see what their future is going to be. They want to see where the stars line up, Pluto and Venus and... Yeah, I rarely say that. They usually get me. He said Uranus. Not, it's a planet. Mike told me it's pronounced Uranus. And so I'm trying to remember that so we don't get off track. But it's baloney. It's phony baloney. The thing of it is, we're putting God in the category of all of this junk that the devil has substituted for his purity and his power. So when that gets in the church and that gets in our homes and that is invited, it's like those pocket gods. They brought them, and when they got, first thing they did was get the love of that man. To love them enough that when they... See, if they had seen those gods up front, they wouldn't have married them in the first place. Be not unequally yoked together, the believer and the unbeliever. For what fellowship hath the light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? What is Belial? The devil himself. You can't come to God's table and eat food, sacrifice to devils one day, and then come to God's table the next day and expect God's blessing. And Israel thought because we have a covenant with him, we can bow to other gods and he'll always be there when we cry unto him. And they were terribly, terribly deceived. I couldn't pray for this lady. And if you continue in idolatry, I can't pray for you. I can pray for you to repent. I can pray for you to get serious in your walk with Christ. But I can't pray for you to be blessed in your sin. Can you say amen? Oh, by the way, the prayer line in Tulsa can't do it either. Oh, Roberts can't do it. He's gone anyway. But you know what I'm saying. You can't call a prayer line for prayer when you're not willing to listen to God and bow to other gods. So, I told you the story. We went to a chiropractor's house, spirit-filled chiropractor. I didn't know there was such a thing. There's spirit-filled people everywhere, but they are different. They are so different. And so, it might be mine, but anyway. He led me. He led me in a prayer on his back porch. And God just opened me up. And I thought, I got the Holy Spirit now. I'm on top of the world. Since I got the Holy Spirit, I didn't think about authority over devils. I just thought, I got power. Well, if you get the Holy Spirit, you need to look into your authority. Because as soon as you get that potential of power, he's coming. The test is coming. Because he fights what he fears. Believe me. I'm going to get spirit-filled and say, come tie my bow tie and everybody's going to respect me as spiritual and I got it made. No, you don't. You put your armor on. Come on, take the whole armor. Don't leave nothing out. You're going to need, and look into your authority. Because this power is released through the power, the authority given you to use the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say, man, hallelujah. We got back to the motel room. By the way, my wife had been sick and she got free. We got back there and I prayed for her to get free. She got free. I got free. We both were enjoying Jesus and speaking in other tongues. And suddenly, in that room, my wife's wind cut off. Well, first thing that happened, it got colder than I used to work in when I was bivocational for a little while. I worked in a freezer in an ice cream plant. It's cold in there. Put on my uniform and still cold in there. One of the boxes was 20 below zero with fans blowing in a flash freezer. It is cold in that box. This cold was not like that cold. This was a cold that would make you shiver in a fear way, not in a freeze way. That room got like that. And there was a sense, without seeing anything, of a presence of evil in that room. If you've never been there, you know what? I was getting my baptism of the Holy Ghost and my baptism with the spirit world at the same time. Same time. God wanted me to know this is not just to talk in tongues with. This is to deal effectively over the enemy with. Amen, brother. And you know what God gave me? He gave me the gift of gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues simultaneously. That night, they both operated. And when I saw what was happening to my wife and sensed what I knew was happening in that room, and she was trying to just praise and worship God with me. And suddenly when I began to speak in tongues, that cold came. And that her breath got off. She said, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Well, my first thought, because we were green as the grass. We'd never encountered the devil like that before. Oh, we had circumstances, but not like that. And the missionary was in, and her friend was in the same motel in the next room down. And I thought, I'm going to run and get the missionary from Hallelujah. But I thought, no. This is my wife. If there was a man come through that door and tried to harm her, he'd have to go through me. As, and the Holy Ghost in me stood up on the inside of me. And I began to speak in tongues and didn't even know what I was saying, but I was talking to somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory under the Bohosite, Kanda da Barosha Labadia, Nenda da Bakosanda da Basiti under the Basata. And I knew that I was speaking with authority. And the Holy Ghost moved through tongues, and then the Holy Ghost spoke through me. And he said, "Behold, I am thy God, and I am with thee, and thou need not fear. As long as you fear me, thou need not fear anything or anyone else." And when that fear broke inside of me and that authority rose up inside of me, I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. Get your hands off of my wife and leave this room." And shoot. Thought, okay, it's on. It's on. From here on out, I know who my enemy is, and I know who my ally is. And I know the spirit realm is real, but I'm not intimidated by it. But I'm not going to fiddle with it. I'm not going to play with it. I'm not going to give place to the devil, because he will take advantage of every opportunity that we give him. But I am, when there are preachers today that don't want to hear about the authority of the believer. They just want God to do it all. Listen, friend, God gave you authority in me for a reason. He filled us with power for a reason. He said, "You will be witnesses unto me." Amen. In Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Wherever you go, amen, they're going to see God move. They're going to see Christ the same. They're going to see authority and power, not just theology and preaching. So, if you're just into theology and preaching, you're going to get a head full of knowledge. And but if we don't get the power of God back in the church, when your relative came down for healing, it's because she believed there was some power here to heal. Amen. The choir can't produce it. Only God can grant that. There's power to deceive and destroy. I counseled recently. This is what I said in the counsel God gave me to give, and I'm going to give it to somebody here today. If there's an alligator outside your door 12 foot long in the morning, if you get up, you peep out the door through that little, because you're going to run out there in your house shoes and grab the paper or whatever, and you see a 12 foot alligator sitting at the door looking up at you, I strongly suggest you do not invite him in. Amen? Don't invite him in. Don't open the door. Have you seen that commercial for Lens Crafters? Glasses, get your new glasses. The lady walks out. There's a raccoon there looking around for something to eat. She says, "Here, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty. Come snuggle with mama." You see that old raccoon running in, her running in with that raccoon. Raccoon will tear you up. They're cute, but they're mean, boy. Hey, can I get a witness? What'd that raccoon do concerning your wife? Wife and the two attack both, all three of them. She's walking two dogs. The raccoon attacked because he's getting into his territory. He got aggressive, come out and jumped on your wife and both the dogs. They're mean. Pretty, cute. Don't invite him in. Don't invite him in. Don't invite him in. Don't invite him in. You can't have it both ways. You can't roll out the red carpet to the devil 6 days a week and expect God's best on Sunday to help you. You got to shut the door. Come on. You got to shut the door. You got to shut the door. You got to shut the door. Man, when I got back from Haiti, I was almost, I actually had to deal with fear first, but I'd seen the devil in his brawl, you know, I mean, he was just there the way he was. When I come back, I brought some stuff back that I'd bought, and I got to thinking about it. I said, you know something? Ain't nothing so pretty. But you spent money for that. I know it was something I was going to bring back to Pamela, and it was carved fruit, and it was beautiful, and it was. And I thought, I don't know where it's been, who did it. Maybe I didn't have to do it, but I just wanted to make sure. Listen, I call on God. I want the help he promised me. I didn't want to take no chance. I said, honey, you like that thing? I think it's real pretty. I said, me too. Let's get rid of that thing. I don't know where it come from, whose hands was on it, who I blessed with the money that made it. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but I know one thing for sure. If it's questionable, listen, I don't want no stronghold through no idol. I don't want no stronghold through no board game. Amen. I don't even want it when back, remember back when the backward masking was going and the demonic overtones and the hard rock music? My son would bring it in and hide it. And one day I'm walking by his room. I'm just walking along, minding my own business, not looking for devils or looking to nail him. I'm just walking down the hall. The Holy Spirit said, go in there. Something you need to take care of. Well, my son wasn't there, so it wasn't him. I walked in. You said, Brother Vimble, you respect your son's privacy? In my house? You're going to tell me about his privacy in my house? You ain't got no privacy in my house. When you move out of my house, you can put a big fence up along with barbed wire on top. But when you eat at my table and you live in my, as for me and my house. Me, oh come on, Joshua 24:15. I don't know about you in your house. I'm talking about me and my house and my God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I didn't make him serve God. But if there's something in my house that the devil can get a foothold with in his life or mine, it's not going to stay in my house. So, to this day, he said, Dad, it had to be God. I had it hid good. You'd have never figured it out. I said, I know I wouldn't. And that's the Lord told me. And I walked into that room, and he had his big Fender amplifier. And the Lord said, look in that amplifier. I mean, I don't talk about God being on a hotline to me all the time. When he talks like that, I know it's him because it does not in my mind at all. I wasn't seeking. I just walked in. He said, look in that amplifier. I looked, turned it up and looked at the tubes in the back of it. He said, turn it upside down. Now, it's got to be God or you're paranoid or something crazy. There ain't nobody here to see me. I'm going to just turn it upside down. I turned upside down and looked and taped up underneath. Taped with tape was his contraband. I took that thing out. My wife got mad at me because they had an end table in there. It was pretty nice. But I decided I was going to hit it with a hammer on the end table. I put it on the end table. I whacked it with a hammer. It not only broke the tape, that's back in there. It put a big old thing in the end table. I thought, well, I'm right with God, but I got a problem with my wife now. Hallelujah. But as long as I'm right with God, it's going to be all right. Amen. My son came home. He said, Dad, what is it? I said, you know what it is. I said, the Lord told me where you hid that thing. And I don't want it in my house. When you leave my house, you can do what you want to. But here, I'm praying for people on Sunday that need miracles. I'm praying for people with cancer that's going to die. I'm going to deal with somebody that's got a demon. I'm going to deal with somebody, amen, that wants to be delivered from homosexuality, that needs spiritual things dealt with. And I'm fasting and I'm praying, and I'm not going to have anything that gives him a foothold in my home. Son, I can't do it. I can't accommodate you. I love you. Amen. But if I find things in my home that I know displeases God, I'm going to have to remove it, because I've got to have God's blessing on you. When I pray for you, I've got to have a position of authority and power to pray from. I can't be in a compromised position. And there's things I can give in on, but there's things I cannot give in on. Amen. And I've claimed him for Christ and watched God move in his life, because there is no other God that I bow to, and there's no other God that I look to. So when we got back home, we rehearsed what God did, and we realized this was not speaking in tongues so we could be accepted by our spiritual peers, so they'd let us alone and say they're one of us, because I saw many of them talk in tongues and shipwreck, and many of them not be able to tell the devil from the Lord when they heard those voices. And I said, God, thank you for taking me by the hand and just leading me to that realm and letting me see what it's going to be like pastoring. Every time the gospel is preached, whether the preacher is going to pursue the power of God in his life or not, there is a power struggle going on. Satan will wrestle everybody for the souls of men and women. I don't know what kind of church you have attended, church background you have, and I don't know what kind of home life you live, but there's a holy God that's saying this to you today. Come out from among them, my people, and be you separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? Come out. As it is written, saith the Lord, if you do that, I will be a father to you. I'll provide. I'll protect, I'll supply, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Having these promises from God to help you, let us cleanse ourselves, only you can do that, from all filthiness of the flesh and that that's went beyond just things we do we shouldn't, but it's got seeded into our spirit. If you're here hooked on pornography, it went beyond your old ogling eyes. It got down in your spirit. And it's as addictive as any drug. And there are pastors addicted to alcohol, pastors addicted to pornography that need deliverance as much as anybody in their pew. The problem is they won't admit it and seek it to someone else because of pride. But until they do, the devil has a foothold. While they're in a pulpit teaching the Bible, he has a foothold in their life. Give no place to the devil. We're in rattlesnake country, palmettos. 6-7 foot rattlesnake is something awesome to see. They're scary. They're full of poison. If one's on my front porch, yeah, he's gone. I really don't shoot in the city limits because I can't, but I can take a shovel and do some damage. One thing I don't do is open the door and invite him into my home where he can hurt me and my family. I'm a daddy. And you know something? God's a daddy too. He's your heavenly father, your Abba father. And when he tells you something, it ain't to take something from you. It's to keep you safe from something that's going to hurt you. He's a good daddy. That's why he said, I won't let you have other gods, because they can't help you. They'll deceive you. They'll destroy you. You come to me and to me alone. I will help you. Can you say, man, I'm going to read this. Listen, don't let the snake in. Don't let the alligator in. If a lion gets loose from the zoo and he's laid down on your front porch and he's hungry and he ain't ate in days, and you know he's hungry because the dog's gone and the cat's gone too. Can you say, man? And that ain't enough to feed no lion. Amen? He's still hungry. Is it all right to tell you? Don't open the door. Keep the door shut and locked. Because if you don't open the door, guess what? Hungry as he is, he can't come in. He can't come in. He needs an invitation. Satan can't do it unless he gets an invitation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Come on. Some people need to get out of the prayer line. You need to get right with God. You need to get real with God. Amen. We can't pray that destroyer away, but you can run him away. The day you decide to quit playing church and quit playing games with God, God is holy. And since he's not going to compromise his holiness, then he wants to change you and me. Because he's not going to come down to our level. Thank God he isn't. Can you say amen? How many in this room will be real honest right now and say, preacher, there are things in my life. Some people, it's fear that's set up a stronghold. Listen to what God said. I got to read one scripture. We got to quit. I'm headed toward retirement one of these days, simply because I'm headed toward 70. And simply because people go to churches and support them, where there's a brand new presentation of the gospel that doesn't rock any boats, that is very entertaining, and guaranteed you won't have to deal with sin in your life. You will never have to deal with that. You won't have to deal with it. You can live in it. And it's very inviting because you can sit there with it and no one will be convicted. Comfortable. And you will be told it's fine while you open the door to the lion and to the serpent. A preacher will tell you, you're great. God is right there anytime you want. What you want to do. It's a lie from the pit of hell. I had a prison ministry and I saw the awful destructive trail of sin. I saw young men and women who were brought up in church, baptized in water, told they could do nothing that would ever affect their life again. God will bless. And they did not shut any doors in their life. Satan destroyed their family, destroyed marriages, destroyed their relationship with children, while a pastor soothed them and patted them on Sunday morning. I told them God can't see through the blood, so you can use the blood to cover all of that. Listen, the devil's waiting for that door to come open. And whether you realize it or not, I'm fighting for you. And for your children and your family and your life and your soul. And it's worth the fight. And it's worth the hard looks. And it's worth losing people to other churches where they're more comfortable than here. And we lose them all the time. I will not quit fighting for your family, your children, your life, and those souls. Go ahead and clap. I need somebody to. I'm going to do it anyway, but it's just nice to know I'm not standing up here all by myself. You've seen it. You've seen it. And you see it continuing to happen. Isaiah 41. When they started coming back to him. I want to leave on this good note. Isaiah 41. Oh, it's... What a promise from the Lord. I don't want anybody to miss this. I can't make it without this. My wife and I had a discussion the other day about things we were facing. I began to weep and I said, honey, we could do this, we could do that, we could do the other, but without God, without God intervening, without God sustaining, without God's help. My heart just broke before the Lord and tears streamed down my face. It's hard to preach like this and watch people go right on into sin. It's hard to pray like I pray with everything that's in me after a service and watch people walk away thinking, he prayed, I don't have to do anything. It's hard to watch people's faces drop because sin is too important to them, more important than Christ. So my message is not directed to people that don't want to change and don't want to repent. I pray for everybody by name. You went through a surgical situation and my wife asked you, why didn't you call us and let us pray? Because I had told everybody I was praying. She said, because I knew my pastor was praying for me. I didn't have to call him necessarily. He's walking and talking. We call it the walk and talk. I walk and talk to the Lord and pray and pray. And when I pray, I don't want to stumble up on somebody that God says, don't pray. They've opened the door to this. You can't pray it off of them until they repent. Pray for their repentance. But you can't pray everything off of everybody's son. You've got to get people to get right with me. Can you say, man, when I come to your name and your family, I don't want the Lord to say, ain't no need praying for them. They keep inviting the devil into their home, into their mind, into their life, into their living room. No. I want to be able to say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I plead the blood of Jesus over this man, this woman, and their children, and their household. Praise God. Amen. Put a hedge around them. Give your angels charge over them. Heal them. Help them. Bless them. Prosper them. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Give them joy and happiness and peace and power. And if the devil's hiding anywhere, show him where he is. And give him a good hammer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to read this. We're going to quit. I had to get into this. Listen, you may not hear preachers like me in the near future because there ain't many left like me left. Where are you going to go find one like me that isn't more concerned about the building fund than your soul? More concerned about keeping you coming than telling you the truth that would set you free. I'd never know who's going to come back to church here. There's a few of you that's so hardcore. Can you say? I said, there's a few of you that's so hardcore. There's a few of you that's so hardcore. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You're a free moral agent. Can you say, man, you're going to go where you want to go? Do you ever hear, you know what most people's attitude is? It's just like the Addams Family. Remember a rapper that made the Addams Family song? Who was it? MC Hammer. Come on. I'm not that old, am I? You're not that old, are you? MC Hammer. He didn't make that for the Addams Family. Yeah, you can't touch this. You know what he said? Go where they want to go, do what they want to do, say what they want to say. Go where you want to go. See, go to church on Sunday and then go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. The devil's family. Come on, that's the devil's family. Come on, you go to church on Sunday, get out of church, go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. No, you don't go where you want to go. You go where he leads you to go. You don't say what you want to say. You say what he said to say. You don't do what you want to do. You do what he said to do. Can you say amen? Because you're God's family. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! I know I'm getting so many hard looks. That's why he's blessing me. I feel his good favor all over me this morning. Oh, I'd rather have his blessing than your blessing. Hallelujah. I got to go home and face the devil and the demons and all the things that want to stop me. But I want God with me. Me and Jesus are going to sit on the couch. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to tell him, Jesus, you better leave the room. You can't look at this. You know you can't see this. I'm not going to mute the television because Jesus, oh. I know he don't. I know this is a good series, but I know he doesn't want to hear. Listen, they will bleep the S word. They will bleep the S word. You know what the S word is. They'll bleep it. You see them say it with their lips. They bleep the S word. Not on. Now, they don't bleep nothing, most channels, but they bleep the S word and leave in the GD. Come on, leave in the GD. Because the devil don't care, but he wants to blaspheme the name of God and the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Because he knows there's power in that name. There's power in that. I don't know if you're going to clean your house or not, but from time to time, the searchlight of God comes on me in my house. I can't speak for you in your house, but I can tell you about me in my house. Brother Venable, you're paranoid? No, I just want to be right with God. I watch television. I like it. My son gave me a 65-inch. It is so pretty. I have to pray not to watch it sometimes. It don't matter what's on. It's just so pretty. Amen. He hands me down his old ones. I know if it gets in the way, if it gets in the way, if it gets in the way, if it comes between me and prayer, if it comes between me and my Bible, if it comes between me and my personal devotions, then it becomes a problem. Hallelujah. If it brings into my home, my life, my mind, that's going to pollute and take me away from faith and purity, then I've got to change channels. I've got to block some channels. I've got to make decisions in my home. So here's the question today. Is God speaking to anyone in this room? Answer this in your heart. Is there something that we can do to shut the door, tie it on the devil, and to open the door to the Lord? So that we can have the revival and the restoration and the help that he has promised. And what help he has promised. Verse 10 of Isaiah 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. This is when they got right with him. What would be worth not having this? Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, you'll have enemies, but listen to what he says. Behold, verse 11, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with you shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and thou shalt not find them. That alligator gone. That lion is gone. That snake is gone. Even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I'd rather have that than the Buddha in my garden. I'd rather have that than the enemy in my living room. Because I need God's real help. I don't just need soothing, salving on Sunday. I need to be challenged to change so God can help me when I call on Him.